How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to The Occasional Barista. My name is Chris, and today I was super inspired by, I just made myself a cup of coffee, very much unlike any of the other coffees I've had, and just because I've gotten into a routine, shocker, of course, during the pandemic, but I've gone into this routine for home brewing that I'd make myself a V60. The cleanup's super easy. You're only really cleaning your mug as well as like the V60 itself. There's not a lot of like tough spots to hit when you're cleaning the V60, such as like a Chemex or even I would say like a percolator or even a Mr. Coffee machine. It's just like a lot smaller of an object to like keep up our maintenance wise. So I actually challenged myself, and I also made a little video on the Instagram so you guys can see what I was using. But I got, like, my family got this French press, okay, as a gift, and it was a long time ago, and it was just sitting in, like, I don't want to be bad, whoever gave it to us, but it was just sitting out, it's still in the gift basket, and I will be honest with you guys, the gift basket's a Starbucks gift basket, so I don't know who's thinking I'm drinking Starbucks out here, but we gotta fix that. But it was a nice gesture nonetheless, and we're very thankful. And hey, I got good use out of the gift basket because I'm using the little 12-ounce French press that they had. And looking at that French press, I was like, okay, what can I do just to like change things up, as well as show anybody who's listening right now or the people who are following me on Instagram, basically what you can really get away with. I honestly got so used to using, I have my Virtuoso Plus electric grinder, I got my Stag kettle, I have an Akaya Pearl scale. I mean, I'm just gonna fix my mic really quick. There we go. I have all these things that, to be honest with you, I feel like I recommend to people because I'm a huge fan of them, but I'm like, the average person's not going to drop like all those things together, probably $800 plus if you add in all the coffee and everything else, like $1,000 worth of equipment and coffee. You know, the average person's probably not going to do that. So I wanted to challenge myself, just kind of searching around the house, like, what can I brew coffee with that's not my normal equipment? And to do so, I found like this old, just like kitchen scale, like, again, not even digital. It's like the old with the little pointer, and it tells you, oh, you put something on top, like any other scale, you know? It didn't have grams, so I had to convert everything from ounces to grams, which was a ton of fun. And I also, of course, I'm using some random French press that we are gifted that I found, and as well as a hand grinder, okay, just to kind of like bring things back to the primitive age, you know, of hand grinding. Oh my gosh, like taking me back to when I first started, but using my little hand grinder that I would take backpacking and stuff. And that thing, again, is like, compared to the Virtuoso, which is like 200 and something, you know, that's like not even $50. So it really was like this kind of fun experiment for me. Tons of fun. Keeps coffee really exciting. And just see what's the best coffee I can produce from these things. I also, by the way, didn't even use my Stag kettle, just to try to make it as like basic as possible. And I titled my video like going back to basics, because I have, I just use like a kitchen pot, you know, to heat up my water, use a thermometer to gauge your temp, because I mean, most people probably have a thermometer for meats. I don't know if, unless you're vegan or vegetarian, but hey, maybe you want to check the internal temp of an eggplant, who knows. But I definitely just tried to like change things up, and the results were pretty interesting, I would say. So not to discount anything, but just for curiosity's sake, I used the old kitchen scale. And again, I made a French press that to me was, I mean, the coffee was good. The coffee I put in, quick shout out to my friend Tyler, who literally like last night randomly stopped by my house, to drop off some coffee. Again, it was totally safe. It was a quick stop off, and he just like dropped off some coffee from Onyx, which is a brand many people have seen, and it's a Coffee Black. So Coffee Black is, they did a partnership. It's a brand and it's like CX, then like coffee, the X replaces the O. But basically they did a collaboration between the two. They did artwork. They, also helped. It's a public label. So it's basically, it was a really nice, a gesture from my friend, and I'm hoping to get him on the podcast because he's dabbling in coffee. And I think that's super exciting. And I really want his perspective from somebody new about coffee and what questions he has, because I'm sure it's going to be very similar to you guys. But it really was a pretty good coffee to begin with. And that on a French press, it really brought out the notes are, well, perfume, elderberry syrup, and dark chocolate. But a French press is only going to bring out a coffee that's maybe roasted a little darker, like those super nice, rich, kind of like not very luscious, but just because it's gonna be so much thicker than a filtered coffee, like it's just gonna be super, super nice, like comparatively to V60, you know. So I decided to go with that coffee rather than my Ethiopian like natural, just because, again, like I think I wanted something that's gonna really enhance what the roasters are doing with the coffee. So it was, again, some of like the differences I've noticed, just so I can tell you, okay, yes, I made a good cup of coffee, 100%. The coffee was good at the end of the day. But B, I definitely got to see why I bought certain pieces of equipment and now it's going to make me appreciate it that much more. So if you're listening to this too, I just want you guys to keep this in mind. If you have like a special, you know, special someone in your life or a family member or a friend or even yourself, if you're just trying to treat yourself for this holiday season coming up with a couple gifts or some cheap purchases that you want, I'm telling you right now, I got away with it with, again, a kitchen scale that most people already have. I got away with a pot to boil the water, which most people already have. I got away with it with a hand grinder, which most people can afford, as well as a French press, which again, most people can afford. A simple hand grinder and French press combo, you're like, for a decent like hand grinder. French presses, people, there's no such thing as like, oh, okay, I shouldn't say that because, you know, there's so many crazy things, but like you don't need anything special. You just need something with the plunger. And like I'm going to recommend, just because in the shop we used to have like these metal, I don't know if it's stainless steel, but it's like, I doubt it's stainless steel, but it's basically metal. It's made of metal instead of the glass. And yes, the glass looks very nice and all this stuff, but glass A, stains, and B, when you have one of the metal French presses, you can slam that thing against a trash can and it will just, everything will just fly out. Versus like with glass, I'm like, man, I'm sitting there, I'm like, should I really be slamming this against the trash can? And I'm like, do I want a bunch of shards of glass in my hands? I gotta think about that. But I think most people would say no. So again, cannot recommend enough getting, and I swear it, go on Amazon, go anywhere, go buy one at your local like coffee shop. Like third wave coffee shops have that stuff lying around. Heck, go to Starbucks. Okay, you didn't hear it from me. Go to Starbucks for the French press, okay, if it's a good deal. But then buy coffee from a specialty coffee roaster. That's what you should do. And again, it's just because it's so cheap. French presses are so cheap and it's such a good entry level into really switching up your coffee game and really just getting your feet wet in regards to like you getting into coffee and more specialty coffee and making coffee at your house. So, cannot recommend enough a metal one. And with the hand grinder, if you're going to spend money in regards to that combo of just a hand grinder and a French press, spend more money, of course, on the hand grinder. You're just going to get way more use out of it. I'm using the Java press or Java, it's something Java, which red flags already for most of you. If there's Java in the name, that's like, wow, man, that's some old school. No one uses that terminology, like Java coffee. And there's like the Java down in Main Street. of like where I live, there's like a Java cafe in like an HSS, which is like just to prove like it's not necessarily specialty, but hey, you know, I have a product with the name Java on it. I'm just saying, be heads up, because my burrs are plastic, but it gets the job done. And when I say gets the job done in regards to it breaks the beans up and it fits in my little AeroPress, like I said before. And it's really nice that it fits in my AeroPress, because then I could go backpacking with it. And it's very portable, because, of course, backpacking, every little piece of space matters. So, again, and it's super light and compact. So, again, do I recommend the Java? If you're a huge backpacker, yes. Yes. That with the AeroPress combo is crazy. You take off the little container on the bottom and you put it inside where the plunger is on the AeroPress. And this may be a sound like a lot of gibberish, but again, if you're going to go heavily be a barista and backpacker, that little combo, cannot recommend that enough. That combo is killer. And you're going to make fresh coffee every single morning. So much better than instant coffee. You could bring up whole beans inside the top container where the hop, quote unquote hopper, is on the hand grinder. I can't recommend it enough. However, there are way better hand grinders out there, but you don't need to go crazy. Again, 50, 60 bucks, that's a good hand grinder right there. Okay, just do a little research and know some name brands. But anyways, great combo. Used a hand grinder. Again, though, it's a little extra work. Hand grinding, you're sitting there, and you're just sitting there like kind of like a maniac, and you're just like slowly just trying to like crank out all of these beans. And you know, if anybody walks by, they're like, okay, dude, you're looking a little wild out there for like 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. It's like that's a lot. So it is nice having an electric grinder like the Virtuoso. And again, this is why I said it. It's nice to appreciate and go back to basics, meaning like this is where I started. And now I have it so much easier because I went and just made the investment to get an electric grinder that I'm so much happier with it. But I'm saying you don't need it though, because if you don't have the money, hey, I was there. I was right there with you. And I use that hand grinder forever. So again, right there with you, but a good investment in the future, go get yourself an electric grinder. Cannot recommend it enough. Next, of course, is the kitchen scale. So I did the math. It's like 0.77 like ounces for like 22 grams of coffee. And especially if I'm using like a 12 ounce French press, which winds up being like 350, somewhere around like 340, 350 grams of like volume, basically. I knew for a fact that to keep ratios, I'm going to be like around 23 if I'm going to do the full 12 ounces, but chances are to make my life easier before I plunge, I might do a little less. I'm going to be in 22, 23 or for the input of beans. Okay. I checked. So again, there's not actual any electronics in the scale. Again, it's just pointing to different numbers as more weight goes on. And because of that, I just wanted to see how accurate it is. Full disclosure, by the way, the thing, like the scale is already off when it just rests with nothing on it by like 2 ounces. So I'm not saying it's the most accurate scale, and you might have a more accurate scale with in grams, which will be better. But for me, it was like, okay, I'm going to continue to like slightly sprinkle some coffee on here and just see where I'm at. I'm like, all right, that's around like 3/4 of the way to like 1 ounce from where the, you know, little pointer was at already. And then I double checked on my Akaya. So yes, I did technically use an Akaya during that video, but it's okay because, you know, I was in the spirit of things, and this was for science, okay, people? But went and checked it out. I was like, I was probably over by like 10 grams. So my either I'm I think my eyes were just way off and I just kept going. But one thing that helped me out is, again, I'm going to be completely honest with everyone. I spilled the coffee. Dude, I spilled the coffee everywhere. Oh my gosh. Oh, that was such a hassle. And then when you vacuum it up, we have like one of those like cheapo Dyson ones or whatever. It's not truly Dyson, but it looks like a Dyson. So it has like the clear backside of where basically the catch is. And that thing is like, it's not like one of those old timey like bags, you know, it's like the clear just plastic. So when beans get sucked up, it's just going, it's just like going wild, like a little whirlwind inside that little thing. And that was like ridiculous. But I feel horrible because I wasted some beans, but I try to salvage as much of the beans as possible that wasn't like just covered in like dust or whatever. But I couldn't salvage that much. But I didn't spill that much. But I'm just saying, for everyone to know, I did my best so I didn't waste beans. It still was just a little bit of beans can make a lot of noise in those vacuums, okay? I don't need to re-listen to my appreciation about coffee because, again, I've definitely tried my best to not waste coffee in my life. But anyways, moving forward, okay, it was like 10 grams off. 10 grams is going to change your coffee drastically. Yes, I'm back on the subject. Okay, scales definitely matter. And you can semi get away with using one of those like kitchen scales if you like have a really fine eye and a nice touch or something, the magic touch, and you're going to do okay. But man, that was like not accurate whatsoever. 10 grams, that's a ton of coffee. I might be exaggerating but let's just say this. Like I needed to hit 22, 23 for the few beans I could salvage versus like the beans I couldn't salvage. Again, I'm sorry. It would probably be up in like the 10 grams, and even some of the beans I had to take back and start like putting back inside my bag because it was just too much coffee. So again, Akaya, having a real scale, you don't even need an Akaya Pearl. And again, I'm going to put out a warning. I love these companies, but anytime they have like flow rate, like, yeah, that's important. But man, you must be going for like a barista competition if like you're trying to measure your flow rate, because that like a brewer's cup, because that's like next level. Like if I'm talking to like home brewers right now, you don't need that. You can have that, but you don't need that. Do you need recipes that's built into the scale? You can, but you don't need that. I'm just telling you that right now. You don't need those things. You just need a timer. You need a very fast and responsive as well as accurate in regards to the weight, and actually a true, like what a scale's purpose is to weigh things. But you don't need all those other bells and whistles. They're nice, and they're nice if you're in a shop, or if you were kind of like me, where like a lot of your equipment kind of wound up in the shop at times. Like that's fine. Like that's good. That's okay. But I'm telling you, for majority of people, you don't need all of that. Again, just to kind of like keep things moving here. Yes, trying to use a kitchen pot. Okay, if you watch the video again, yes, I spilled. And you know what's so funny? It's the same pot. I eat oatmeal every single morning. And I of course, that's a bigger bowl. But I'm just saying, like, I never miss. And I was like, not to toot my own horn, it was all that barista practice. Oh, you know. But, dude, I absolutely biffed it on camera. And you guys can see, I definitely did spill a little. It wasn't drastic. There was no flood. Nothing happened, no water damage, but I did spill, and that was a little embarrassing because I am a barista and we should be good at pouring. But again, that's why I have a great kettle, the Stag. Before the Stag, I was using, again, off Amazon, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's off of Amazon. I don't know the official. I'm pretty sure I gifted it to my girlfriend, but it was just a kettle, gooseneck kettle that could be used on like pretty much any stovetop, like whether that be induction, just a regular gas burner like flame, or an electric burner. And that thing worked great. And it even had a thermometer on the top for where the handle is, like the handle knob. I'm just going to give another quick disclaimer. Like most other things, if it's metal on the top of the lid, that thing's going to get hot. So like there's been a couple times where I just burned my fingers, but I'm used to burns. So I just like grabbed the thing and just popped it off. And it was kind of hard to pop off. Because of course metal is warping as it heats up, and it didn't kind of messed up how it fit on it. But, I just like burned myself a couple times. So that's just a hassle. Whereas like the Stag, they did it in a way where it doesn't get hot, the handle. And there's a lot of them that don't have a metal handle, which you're going to be okay with. But just again, I'm just trying to give disclaimers. Learn from my mistakes, people. That's all I can recommend. Learn from my mistakes. I'm making the mistakes for you guys, okay, in regards to coffee. But again, I truly hope that you guys will be able to like go and find these just like simple. A simple gooseneck kettle is going to change your coffee game, especially if you're pouring from a pot and you're trying to do pour overs. Like that's like impossible almost. And again, I'm probably going to wind up trying it just because I love experimenting with coffee, but I think there's a lot of better ways to do things. For those of you who have made it this far, I'm going to give you guys a quick like life hack, barista life hack. Okay. If you have a V60, I didn't have a funnel on hand for when I was trying to pour the coffee into my hand grinder, but you can use, I know most people are like, duh, it looks like a cone. But dude, I used the V60 as like a funnel to pour my coffee in my hand grinder little hopper area. That was like a game changer. Oh, I normally like weigh everything out on my Virtuoso lid, and it doesn't have like, of course, a great lip for like coffee to fall into. So if it's not a big opening, you're gonna, or the same, diameter as like the Virtuoso lid or the hopper itself, you're gonna have troubles pouring coffee from the lid into anything. Again, life hack, use that V60. Heck, if you need any of your needs, if you need to change your oil, use the V60. I'm just kidding. No, don't use your V60 other than for coffee purposes, people. But yeah, use it. That was honestly like, I was like, this is pretty dumb because I should have known, but this at the same time, I felt so smart. I don't know. But anyways, to kind of wrap things up here, overall, the coffee itself. So this is probably what you guys were like, oh, can you make coffee like this? Yeah, you totally can. There was a lot of sediment on the bottom, and I wasn't that bothered with that, just because at the same time, like that's what you kind of expect from a French press. But a couple of things, if you're making French press at home and you're finding a lot of sediment at the bottom, there's a couple of things you can do. Step one, get a better grinder, because that probably means your grinder's not that even and it's creating a lot of inconsistency within the grind size. And when it's grinding through, it's probably creating a lot of dust. That can be an issue. If you're home roasting and you don't go and get your chaff out, and you're not very good at getting chaff out of, or like roasters in general, that might end up having a lot of more dust. There's also little things like, all right, you can do like in the James Hoffman video, he goes and scrapes off whatever's not floating, or whatever's left floating after he agitates, the bloom. Okay. Sorry, a lot of afters there, but, when he agitates after the bloom, whatever doesn't fall, he gives it like 30 seconds to a minute just to let things fall. Whatever's still floating on the top, he'll just scrape off with spoons. And like that's a great way, yeah, to create a cleaner cup. Again, if you're making a French press for the purposes of not having the cleanest cup, leave it in. I did, just because I wanted to try it. I haven't had it in a while. And again, it just left a little bit, definitely a strong, the heavier body for sure. But besides that, I mean, it's not going to kill you. You can eat beans. Lots of roasters eat fresh beans, and I recommend you eat a bean. If it's fresh, eat a bean. Oh, it's fantastic. It tastes great. Great way to start getting some flavors and figuring out how bright the coffee is. Really, you can get a lot from just eating a fresh bean. I pray that you don't come back and be like, yeah, I ate a bean and that tasted horrible. Like, I'm not saying it's going to taste like chocolate or something else. Like, you're eating a strawberry. No, it's going to definitely taste like coffee, and it's going to be like a little earthy and a little bit bitter, but try it. It's once you're used to it, it's awesome. I love eating the beans. I don't just sit there and eat bowls full of beans, but if I'm visiting a roaster, or if I'm talking with one of my friends that's a roaster and he roasts fresh coffee and he gives me a bean, I'm gonna try the bean. The whole idea too, in regards to what you can do to up your game, again, I was saying scraping off the top, that's fine. Even how you're pressing in, just making sure that you didn't have any remnants that was left hanging from when you first poured. And when I say remnants, like where water's not touching, kind of at the very, very top of your French press, getting that stuff off with a little like you can, when you're first pouring in, make sure you're just kind of more careful about it, or you could just wipe it off. But that might wind up in your cup as you pour. So these are just things that I'm just saying to fix how much of those particles or sediments are left in your coffee. Now, I'm very impressed with what I did just with what I had. And this is why it was kind of inspiring, and what kind of the rest of this podcast is going to be about, just for a little bit, is just some interesting ways to brew coffee that you probably shouldn't brew coffee, but you definitely could brew coffee. Starting off with the weirdest one is and I've made jokes about this, but apparently it's a real thing. And when I say real thing, okay, not everything's on the internet is real, but we always joked about brewing it in a sock, okay? And apparently to a website, okay, called Curbly, okay, as well as a couple other websites, but this is the main one, okay? They talk about kopi. I don't think I'm pronouncing that right, but in Malaysia, you go and the sock is a filter basically that you use to steep the coffee in, okay? Which is what we joked around about whenever we were baristas in the shop, and we were like, oh, what are some funny ways to brew coffee? And I was like, yeah, go use a sock and go and put the bag, because that's basically what filters are, when you make a cold brew. But no, I mean, apparently it exists and it's called kopi. And I'm not saying it's super popular in the States, but I've actually seen this filter in the quote-unquote sock before. I think in a lot of Asian countries, and even Japan, there's in the film about coffee, which I've referenced before, you should definitely watch it. No, there is a famous barista who made coffee, and I think he was late into his 60s or 70s, and you slowly drip water into the little sock of coffee, just slowly, ever so slowly, just drop by drop. It's almost like oh my gosh, there's a cold brew system that basically slowly drip coffee, not coffee, water into where your coffee's at. And it's the Kyoto brewer or Kyoto process is a process to make cold brew. And, it's a very similar way, and it makes sense, but the Kyoto takes 8 hours to brew coffee. Whereas this guy, I mean, he did it just to slowly wet and make sure the beans fully absorb the water before you start really kind of pouring. So again, kopi, K-O-P-I. It's just something to look into. Again, I don't recommend you going into your sock drawer and grabbing a sock and doing that, but you could. I'm just saying you could. Next, there's obviously something that's a little bit more popular, but you know, not everyone, it was like had a fit, like a fad, basically it was a fad, but throw some butter in it for to make bulletproof coffee. Okay. Bulletproof coffee was big, like really big for a hot second. And I remember when I first started working at EOSA, like the first, like for the, I was probably like a couple months in and I thought I knew my stuff. And then the person comes in and is like, hey, can you make like the coffee with butter in it? And I was like, coffee with butter in it? What are you talking about? And they're like, oh, you know, I think it's called like bulletproof. And I've heard of bulletproof coffee before, but I didn't know it was because of like you threw butter in it. I thought it was just a roaster or something. And no, I mean, apparently you have to make sure it's like like a lot of people use like ghee, like it has to be like grass fed or something. But apparently it helps give like a more, of course, creamy texture because you're adding fats in it and you're adding a lot, of course, like creamer, basically. It's going to act a little similar. But it kind of, I think I might've had it once when I was in Boston. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of it because I just think it's not needed. I think it's extra, but definitely you can try it. You have to make sure you get the right stuff though. Make sure you get like grass-fed ghee or unsalted like cow butter can work. But you need, I think you need the grass-fed ghee or ghee, and you need to mix it with like MCT oil. And basically, again, these are just weird ways that, I mean, that you can brew coffee just to switch it up. But basically, these are, for the most part, no one in the world is really, in regards to like the American coffee scene, is really doing these. And MCT is, I'm going to definitely butcher this for those of you listening, but medium chain triglyceride. And it's just two or three fatty acids, basically. So, yeah, there is some health benefits. I think there's better ways to be healthy, but you could do it. Moving on. So, obviously, you can, this is just one that a lot of people, I feel like, this is actually for roasters, but a lot of people don't realize you can actually make like roast coffee in a popcorn machine. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because I'm still very much in touch with the owners at EOSA as well as like the baristas who are still there. And the guy who took over the coffee program, who we did an episode with, Corey, there is an old popcorn machine in the back that they had like for maybe even since opening, that we talked about cleaning up and roasting some coffee in. I know it can be done because it's anything that's going to apply heat to the beans in a more like a, that's going to be mixing, which the actual popcorn machine does. It has like a little piece of wire that just keeps rotating to mix up the beans, which would normally be popcorn, of course, the popcorn. But basically like in a heat source, and right, boom, you got yourself a roaster. People roast coffee, like green coffee, using just open flame. You know, there's a ton of different ways to do it. But yeah, we definitely talked about it. And we just have to get that thing clean because, and we haven't, no one's really used that thing in forever. And I'm sure, yeah, we can create our own bulletproof coffee. Coffee roasted in year old buttery oil or whatever like they were using to make the popcorn with, that hasn't been cleaned out for years. Yummy. But again, not anything that we're going to serve to customers. This is purely for scientific purposes, and we definitely talked about cleaning that out. So if we get around to it, just because we're busy and everything with the pandemic, it's going to be hard to cup coffees together. But maybe we can go and safely clean that popcorn machine. So I'll keep you updated on that one. I did doubt that's going to happen, but thank you everyone for listening. Please, please, please follow the Occasional Barista on Instagram. We also, like, would love to hear what weird, wacky ways that you've ever made coffee or that you've ever thought of making coffee, because there's so many weird ways, and I can do a whole nother episode just about like the wackiest ways that the baristas we've tried or at least thought of making coffee. And then I'll try to recreate it. So, and I'll get back to you on how it is, but we would love to hear it. Thank you so much for your guys' support, and I hope that you all have a lovely rest of your day.